The most sustainable way to love fashion isn't to stop shopping. It's to simply change the way you shop. So, change the way you shop with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest, most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. Every item kept in motion extends the life cycle of luxury and keeps it out of landfills. So, whether you shop secondhand on TheRealReal.com or exclusively purchase pieces you can sell back into rotation later, pass it on when you're done by selling it with The RealReal. You'll get money to shop Loewe, Celine, Prada, and more new-to-you finds. Then, repeat the cycle, guilt-free. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. And only for the month of April, earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started and earn $100 extra this Earth Month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop podcast. This is a podcast that talks about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And we are back today with Real Housewives of Rhode Island. This is season one, episode three, Saturday Night Fever Dream. Poof, boy, this show.
Is that what it's called?
I thought it was Studio 54 something?
Yeah,
that's Studio what I got 54. From Peacock. Hold on. Okay, hold on.
It could be, but I don't know why they would call it Saturday Night Fever Dream when it is about Studio 54. Those are two totally different things.
Yes. Episode three, let's see. Oh no. What's annoying is that everyone has their different. Yeah, this is watch Saturday Night Fever Dream. Because everyone calls it something different. Like Vulture will say it's, oh, Disco Inferno or whatever. Like they'll create their own title.
Okay.
I'm glad we got that down. Boy, this is vital to this show to be able to enjoy this show.
Well, most of these people didn't really understand the assignment when it came to dressing for the party. We'll get to that, but really.
Yes, I know.
Really didn't understand the assignment.
Yes. No, they did not understand the assignment. So I don't know. So when I was watching the show, and I don't know if I should bring this up now or later, but I had this weird moment of, I don't know what it is about these especially these housewife shows. And I've mentioned this before, this idea of, right, like, if you're a housewife, you absolutely have to make sure that people know that you always put your children first. Like this performative thing, right? And for whatever reason, it's like, God, there was something about, I was watching this episode and, hold on, I'm pulling up my notes. I was watching this episode and it really made me, like, I had to stop and say, like, what am I feeling right now? Why am I feeling, why is this making me angry? Why am I frustrated? And, you know, so I think the thing is, this is where I landed, and tell me what you think. Okay. So it's almost like these women are performing a version of womanhood, right? Mm-hmm. It's like there's this script that's already been waiting for them that they signed on, right? You must be devoted to your children. You must have an opinion. You know, if you work full time, then you need to feel this way. If you don't work full time, you need to feel this way. You must love to host parties and be attention to details. And you have to love to shop all these things, right? There's this other part of it where a lot of these housewives, another sort of bragging rights is, oh, well, I'm always thinking about everything. You can never rest. You're running around, you know, you're so busy doing all this stuff. And it's like this set of standards that in many ways, and maybe it's me and where I am in my life right now, that it's kind of hard to watch because you're watching, basically what you're watching is, yeah, this is the issue with women is the fact that we feel so pigeonholed that we do feel like we have to do everything all the time, that we do feel like we have to be doing this and that. It's just this, is this just me? Am I the only one that's kind of watching all of this going, this is very different. Like the show has not, we've evolved a lot in the last 20 years, but Real Housewives has not evolved.
Yeah. No, it hasn't. It's, you're right. It's still the same. You have to, should. Yeah. And also, I'm astounded by what these women will put up with simply to remain married.
Oh my God, the husbands.
Say that they're married. Uh-huh. The behavior of these men and what, no wonder, I don't blame them for cheating. Look, if your husband is gone 3 out of 4 weeks of the month to go sport fishing,
yes,
of course you're going to hook up with some young guy. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, I'm astounded. I there were so many things that happened in this episode with these men where I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's honestly sad.
And I also think that there's a lot of young women who look at Kelsey's situation with a lot of envy, with a lot of like, oh my God, she lives in this big mansion, she's taken care of. But Alicia says it, like she says it. She's like, the thought, I mean, could you imagine going to your husband to ask for money? Like every time you need money, like Alicia was telling us that I guess her husband won't even put her on the house.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. But there's these, you're absolutely right. Like the importance of these women being with a man, that it's more important for you to be with a man and a man that has enough money to take care of you than it is to wake up and feel good about yourself every day. No,
Kelsey's man is in Miami screwing somebody else while she sits in that house alone with the housekeeper.
Yeah.
And she's finally come to her senses and got a boyfriend, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Kelsey, leave. She's talking about how, oh, I don't know if I want to give up this lifestyle. And it's like, what lifestyle? A lifestyle means nothing if you have nobody in your house to share it with. Or
no control.
He could kick her out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has no rights. You know, I mean, nothing. He could tell her to leave tomorrow and that would be it. And she'd have nothing and nowhere to go. She'd have the clothes on her back and you know. Whatever she could take in her suitcase.
No, you're right.
That's it.
You're right. No, he could say, you know, I'm selling that house and I'm going to buy a house in Boston now. So you're living in Boston now. Like he has all the power, all the control. And I think what this whole thing started when Liz was in the beginning of the episode when Liz was on that bike and her husband made some comment. Like the other part of it is like the husband's having to make all these like sexual comments about their wives. I mean, Steve's never said these things to me. Ever. Like that feels so performative. And you know, it was that. And then she was talking about like, oh, I can never rest. Like being busy is like a badge of honor. And this has been this issue with women is yes, we make busyness a badge of honor. We have to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is a little bit of what our issue is that we have to stop taking care of everyone, doing everything. But if we have this image of a woman or a housewife needs to be this, like this is part of the role that you play. It's that, I think that's what's making me so angry. It's like, you're not allowing us to evolve or women to evolve or even for none of these women ever stop and ask themselves these bigger questions of like, who am I? What does this all mean? What would happen if I just showed up as me and said, yeah, I hate hosting parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah. Anyway. That's my thoughts. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I hate this pink Jeep. I'm sorry to be negative, but I don't know why. It was just like that pink Jeep, just like
Barbie Jeep.
I just felt tired. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, oh dear God. All right.
Yeah. Is that the first scene?
Kind of. Like we see all these scenes, like Liz and her husband biking. We see
the little montage scene.
Rosie and her husband washing her pink Jeep, which I'm sure they do all the time. You know, they don't listen. You guys have a hell of a lot more money than I do, and I don't wash my car. Like I go, it's $30 to go down to the whatever.
Well, they're showing off.
Jeep. Yeah.
Well, we start out the first main scene is that Liz goes over to Alicia's house. And Alicia, who we were just talking about, who has a 9-year-old daughter with her, I guess, is it her fiance?
Yeah, you skipped a lot, though, I will say, because you skipped Kelsey. You skipped Kelsey and the guy Bill, the Joellen.
Well, okay. You can.
That's
you
fine. Go keep then. Going. Keep going. Keep
no,
going.
I don't necessarily have this in oh. I don't have it in chronological order.
Sorry. Well, I just watched this today. But no, it's the setup is Ashley and Jared are going over to Rosie's house to see her house or this excavation that they're doing. It's Joellen telling. So we have to set up everything for the party. Joellen needs to tell her husband about what happened at the party. And then we see Liz and her husband sitting down talking about Dino and those rumors. And, you know, that's the setup of everything. And then Jerry's having a Studio 54 party. And the big thing is Ruella and Brian are going to be there as well as Joellen. And then we go back to Brian wrote an email too. Apparently we learned a little bit more about what happened behind the scenes, that the issue was that Brian wrote, I guess, an email to somebody that worked at the same company as Joellen. But
well,
then
he tries to blame it on.
Yeah.
Because remember, so because Ruella hates Joellen.
Yes. And Joellen is the one who, not her, saw the photo on social media or found it somewhere and basically showed it to people.
Yeah. Somebody sent it to her, I think, mm-hmm. knowing that it would get to Ruella, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joellen has become the scapegoat for this outing of this affair that Ruella's husband had. And so, they have this kind of confrontation. I don't know what you...
At the party.
At the party. And, there's so much here. I don't even know where to start. Because Ruella's husband... is, you know, when they're driving to the party, I mean, he looks kind of scared.
Yeah, no, Brian, I mean, we can dig into this now, but Brian's still cheating people.
Yes.
I am not, and I am, and I'm an optimistic person, and I don't believe this. This guy is, he's got every classic thing of still cheating, and she knows it too.
No, he was confronted with it at the party, and he did mm-hmm. not deny it.
Yeah, yeah.
He did not deny it.
No.
He just sat there and then they had that quiet car ride home, you know? So they put somebody up to, he's like, well, I didn't do it. And she's like, well, it was your colleague. Brian put someone up to call and complain about Joellen. Cause he's like, well, that wasn't me. It wasn't my account. And she's like, well, it's your friend's account or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he put this person up to calling in to complain and try to get her fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joellen and her husband, what is his name?
Gary.
They confront them mm-hmm. at the party.
Yeah.
And Brian literally just sits there.
Yeah.
Doesn't deny anything. And Rula's just sitting there looking kind of scared.
Mm-hmm.
And Joellen and Gary are like, you know, don't fuck with us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm sorry, they, you know, is Joellen kind of mean? Yeah. You know, but yes. And everybody knows in the whole housewife world and just in general, like that went too far. That mm-hmm. went too far because you know that Brian was talking to his friend and Brian was like, oh God, this woman's talking about my affair. I'm mad. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it didn't affect you. It's affecting Brian. So Brian's friend decides to be the hero to call up the company to complain. Yeah. I mean, it's really crappy. It's really, 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 really crappy. It was bad what they did. Anyway, sorry, let's go back to that. But very briefly before the Liz Alicia stuff, Kelsey has coffee with Bill, her other boyfriend.
Right. Now, is this guy her? Because she is trying to, felt like she was being cagey about it. I mean, is this her boyfriend? Like, what is
I think, on? Well, I think that Bill, she's known Bill since the seventh grade, right? I think Bill's maybe someone who's always been in her life, maybe always has liked her. And I think that she is now being confronted with, right? Because she's on a show now and the show puts a mirror up to your life and you have to defend it. And she can't defend it anymore. So she's like, oh crap, I got to meet someone. And I think she just kind of goes to Bill because it's easy. And you know, everyone wants her to be with someone like Bill, you know, the mom just wants grandkids. But I don't know. Yeah. And they all keep talking about this being polyamory and I'm like, this is just an open relationship essentially.
Right.
It's an open relationship.
Right. They're really trying to force this polygamy, polyamory thing. But, and this is where she's like, you know, Bill just can't offer her the lifestyle that she's living now. Mm-hmm. And she says, I don't have a problem working. I can do it. It's just, do I want to? No. And this is just, that's not attractive, girl.
No.
It's really not attractive. And you're stupid because guess what? Again, one or both of these men could just cut you off. Don't rely on a man because they can divorce you. They can, you know, leave you. They can kick you out. And then where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Back home to your mom? I mean,
yeah, well, just like Alicia's mother, we soon learn. But God, Alicia has layers. She has layers. Those dolls, she has layers.
And they're like Bratz dolls. They're not even Bratz dolls. They're off-brand Bratz dolls like from Target that cost $10 a piece.
Yeah, you know, usually people who are into dolls, like those old-fashioned ones because they're ceramic.
Sander dolls. But even American Girl dolls, those cost like $150.
But yeah, these are
$10, $10 dolls.
Mm-hmm. And she's fascinated by the eyes and the mascara and the layers of mascara.
Yeah. Glittery makeup. But yeah. But, you know, this made me so mad when she said that, you know, okay, she's having this guy's baby. What is his name? God, I can't keep these men's names straight.
Oh, God, I forgot his name. Alicia's husband.
Fiance. It's not even her husband.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, fiance.
Yeah. So she's pregnant with his child.
Wait, pregnant now?
No. I'm talking about like long ago. She's been engaged for 9 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. And her daughter is, you know, 8 or 9, something like that. So she's having this guy's baby and he says that he won't marry her unless they do a prenup. And in this prenup, basically she gets nothing, zero, not even a 50-50, not even a percentage, nothing. And she said, no, thank God. But, you know, I don't know if she's any better off now.
No, she's in the same spot.
He won't put her on the title to the house. And she says, so if, you know, if we broke up, I would have nothing and I'd have to move back home. And she said, that's what happened to my mother. We had to move back in with my grandmother because her mother wasn't married. I guess didn't have a prenup or any property rights or anything. And the guy left her. And she talks about how 5 of the 6 aunts or whatever have all been left. I mean, then what are you doing, Alicia? This guy doesn't care about you. He would let the mother of his child and his child basically not have a home. Like, I'm done with you. I'm breaking up with you. Goodbye. He's an awful person.
Well, isn't there something here in terms of like, okay, his name's on the house and he sells the house, but doesn't he still have to pay child support or doesn't he still have to pay any? Because they've been together almost 10 years, even if they don't get married, there's nothing.
Well, all he would have to pay is child support. And child support is not, you know, it's based on a formula. And, you know, I don't know how much she would get, but it's if she's coming out of that relationship with nothing, she personally is not entitled to anything. Yeah, she'd get child support, but child support's not going to be enough to buy a house like these ladies live in, and pay the mortgage and pay all the bills and pay for her daughter and pay for just living. this lifestyle. Like, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's probably the kind of guy who would just pay the guideline child support, you know, the mm-hmm. minimum, and not a penny more. And he'd say, well, she can come live with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of bullshit.
So you've got to believe then in the last 9 years that they must have had this conversation a lot. So it sounds like what's happened is he's not budging. He's never, I think maybe she thought like, I'll give it some time and he'll eventually budge. And that's the other part. It's like, God, every year you're staying there, the more vulnerable you're getting because, mm-hmm. right? You have, I mean, she's got the show, she's got the money from the show, but hopefully she invests it well.
Yeah, I hope she, at least now she has a source of income. Yeah, and I hope that she does take that. I hope he doesn't wrestle this show money away from her. I mean, the first seasons, they don't make a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if this show takes off and, you know, she's a popular character, which I think she will be because she's very down to earth, you know, I like her best out of all these people.
She's got like, I mean, the woman that she hit with her car this week with the dolls. I mean, this woman gives, she gives.
Yeah. No, I love Alicia. She's my girl.
But I just think it's interesting that Liz is like, when she finally reveals that, yeah, my father left my mother. I haven't seen him since I was 16. I have no relationship with him. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the reason why you don't want to get married. You're just sitting around wondering, like, why don't you want to get married? I'm like, it's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
God, that is, I didn't realize that was their dynamic. Oh my God. And then they talk about jobs and stuff. And she was saying that she wants to do something like with pizza or something. And I'm like, no, 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 Alicia, you get away from his business. Mm-hmm. You go do something else. Like, you know, something that's far away from that you own solely. Because if you start doing stuff in that business, you think he's going to then treat you fairly and what, give you a salary or
yeah, don't go into business with him.
Into the profits. Like she wanted some... I want to design, or maybe she wants to design some of his pizza places. It's like, no, 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 no. You're going to do all this labor for him and he's not going to do shit for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
All right.
Poor girl.
Yeah. Ugh. Rula, I cannot stand. I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
She's holding it in. But this whole lunch that she had to have, like, I don't think anyone else wanted to have lunch with her. This lunch with her Lebanese friends.
Yeah.
Her Lebanese brunch.
Well, yeah. And again, here we go. She talks about how divorce is just not mm-hmm. something that happens in their culture.
In the Lebanese Syrian culture.
It's yeah. like
no culture promotes divorce.
No.
You know, and then of course the producer says, haven't you been divorced before? And she looked, Rula looked like, oh crap, you know that? Or
yeah.
It's like, but you know, why? But this whole thing with like the culture, and it's our culture, like, you know, we don't walk out the door, you know, we don't contemplate these kinds of things. And I'm like, so again, this is this other housewife thing that bugs me. It's like, why does it have to be the culture? Why can't you just say, I love this man, I don't want to leave him? Why can't be the reason why you're staying is because of something else? But it's like, no, you can't be accountable to your own choices, right? So you always go back to, well, my culture says I shouldn't get divorced. It's like, no, you know, you're not getting divorced for your own reasons. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, this guy, Brian, scares me. Their whole dynamic really scares me because she seems afraid of him. And he seems a little unhinged, like just like quietly unhinged, like under the surface there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but this is another one too. So the next scene after that is what we hear from this whole brunch thing was about all of her friends telling her she's awesome and amazing and wonderful. And you go in there and you fight Joellen, this awful person that really just like, you know, repeated something that someone said.
Mm-hmm.
But the next scene after that is like Ashley and Jared going out to dinner. Like they're out on this date night. And the whole thing is about how Jared doesn't feel fulfilled in his life and mm-hmm. how much time he puts into Audrey's, like that even when he's home, he's not really home, that he's stressed out, that she doesn't get his best self ever. This is you pointed this out last time and I guess I didn't pick up on it, but yeah, it's again, I was like, wait a second, Jared, I'm sorry, but how fulfilling, you know, you have these two young kids, you have a lot going on in your life. Like everything has to be, you know, it's like, you're scaring this. How do I explain this? It's like, this whole thing is about him not being fulfilled. And because he doesn't feel fulfilled, Ashley has to feel anxious all the time about him not feeling fulfilled. And that mm-hmm. Ashley has to endure the fact that he's stressed out. And she has to endure the fact that she's not getting his best self. It's a little bit like, you know, Jared has some responsibility. You know, just because you're not feeling fulfilled doesn't mean that you don't get, you know, that you then get to not show up in your relationships. Is that making sense?
Yeah, no, he uses that as an excuse to basically, you know, like you said, be anxious and stressed and whatever.
And
I don't understand, what is this unfulfilled? I really think, okay, so he's from this area. He's from Rhode Island. He's raised in this very, as we've seen, this culture where, you know, the man has to be the man and make all this money and have the big house and take care of the family and this and that. And I'm not quite sure why he's doing this cafe, you know, Audrey's cafe thing. Maybe he tried to do other things and didn't really. I just think he feels inadequate because he's not making a bunch of money like these other people. And she probably makes more money than him.
She does. And,
yeah.
She does.
And he's feeling inadequate.
Yeah.
As a man. And I don't know, but he's making that Ashley's problem. And
yeah, exactly. And they have two little kids. And what Ashley described, listen, I only know what it's like to have one kid, but yeah, what she described is like little kids. You go, 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 go until you finally get to go to bed. And then you go to bed and then you wake up the next day and you go through all this all over again. You know, I mean, that's like having little kids is like that. So they're in this really tough part of their marriage relationship with the kids being young. And it's like, God, is he just moody? Is he like walking around the house all the time, moody and upset, not feeling fulfilled? And I'm sorry, if you want to be a millionaire or if you want to make a bunch of money, cafe?
Yeah.
Who the hell opens a cafe?
No, go into finance or something. Go get your Series 7 and or an MBA or something.
That's hard. That's hard.
That's hard work, but at least it'll pay off in what you want, which is economically.
And that's the other part of it too, is that yes, in anyone's dream scenario, it's to be able to do something that you love to do and make a lot of money from it and provide your life. But Jared, you are an influencer. You're already sort of in a very specialized place. Like you already have a lot. Like, you know, if you want to be fulfilled, then don't worry about the money. If you want the money, focus on the money. It's like, you can't have it. You trying to find this perfect thing isn't going to work. You have to, like, if you want the money, go figure out a way to make lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
If you want fulfillment, then go figure out how to feel more fulfilled. But anyway, he's a cutie, but I'm like, God, I think this guy's exhausting, I think. And I'm nervous for Ashley.
They don't seem happy.
No.
At all.
No, I don't know. I get the sense that he's someone who maybe was in this relationship and like he hit this place where he's like, okay, I got to get married or I got to get out. And I think he was like, okay, this is what the world wants. I don't think he had another option or another plan. So you know what I mean? It's almost this feeling like he's just kind of going along with this until he feels fulfilled and then finds the thing that he wants to do.
Yeah.
Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
I don't know what else to say.
Okay.
Okay. So where are we now?
After that is Rich and Rosie. They go out to dinner. for their one-year anniversary. And they're just so in love, even though Rich is very corny. And we learned from Rosie that her mom was a perfectionist and sounds like a friggin' piece of work. Very controlling. And so now Rosie's scared to have children because she's worried she's going to be like her mother, or she's worried, I don't know. She thinks she's, I don't know if she's worried she's going to perpetuate the cycle, mm-hmm. or if it's like, I don't think my mom liked being a mom and this is how she treated me. So if I don't like being a mom, it's like, no, you can consciously decide to mm-hmm. treat your child differently. It's kind of a weird excuse not to have children.
I think they're just not on the same page, and that's the excuse she's using, because he mm-hmm. he clearly wants to have children, mm-hmm. and I guess she doesn't, but she doesn't right now, mm-hmm. you know, and he makes some comment about how, well, the older you get, the harder it is to get pregnant. You know, they're not on the same page. Mm-hmm. Their timelines are not on the same page, and... you know, I don't know. They don't seem very well matched.
Yeah, this guy, he seemed kind of goofy. And then he likes to flip houses. And so I think he thinks that you bought a house and then he's going to add 5,000 square feet to it. And Rosie's like, no, I didn't think this is how we're going to live our lives. I'm like, you never mm-hmm. talked about this. Like, that if he's a house flipper, that you would mm-hmm. move from house to house to house. This never came up. Like, because mm-hmm. that's a very common house flipper thing, you know? So anyway, the mom that wouldn't come to the wedding unless it was a Catholic ceremony in the church, I mean, and then Rosie, like, you know, did it, like, that's the other one too. I'm like, yeah, you gotta set some boundaries with this woman, and you needed to just mm-hmm. say to her, then you're going to miss a great wedding. Bye. Mm-hmm. Like her. Anyway.
Yeah. Rosie just seems very immature to me, and you know, like she likes to be on camera. She was the, mm-hmm. you know, the reporter. Was she the weather girl or something?
She has this new show, Road Trippin', which I think is kind of clever. I know one, Joellen, kind of rolled her eyes. I'm like, I thought Road Trippin' was pretty good.
Yeah. No, that could be a good show.
Yeah.
She's clearly on this show for exposure. She likes to be on TV. She wants to do things. And Brian wants her to have babies and start settling down.
Rich, not
I mean
Brian.
Rich, sorry.
No, Brian probably wants to sleep with her. Brian wants to have an affair with her. Just don't tell Joellen.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're here. We're at the Studio 54 party. So let's discuss this party.
The younger girls don't even know this.
Yeah.
They barely know this reference. It's a Studio 54. They really mm-hmm. don't. They don't understand what you're supposed to wear. And most people didn't really get it quite right.
Well, it's also tricky because I'm going to be 53 this year. Jerry is turning 54. Like, I know what Studio 54 is, but
that's before our time.
Yeah, again. Yeah. Because it was
the 70s,
historical
to be an adult
thing.
In the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, in order to understand Studio 54, you have to be an adult. You're right, in the 70s. And none of these people, anyone who's an adult in the 70s now is dead.
They are 70.
They're in their 70s. Sorry, they're not dead.
You're dead. Unless you're like Brooke Shields or Drew Barrymore and you're mm-hmm. going to Studio 54 when you're 13, I mean, or younger. I think Drew Barrymore was like 10.
Yeah. Well, and I think Studio 54 lasted longer than the 70s. Like, I think it's sort of the excitement, but it still existed, mm-hmm. Was still around. But yeah. And so it is, as much as I think it's clever, it really is a tough theme.
It really you is.
Know? And I think we've gone past it.
The men did not know what to do with it. They all just wore their regular shirts, their regular mm-hmm. Goomba, you know, like boxy short sleeve button up shirts. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of them who tried. Who's the birthday guy?
Jerry.
Liz's husband, Jerry. He wore like a sparkly shirt, which mm-hmm. I'm sure that, you know, she bought him.
Yeah.
And there was someone else. Oh, that guy who is dating
Bill.
Ashley, Bill.
Yeah.
He had on like a vest. It was a pink and...
Yeah, he was basically like wearing... Yeah, he was wearing, he was a little bit more on brand, but yeah, he was wearing like a 70s kind of vest and pants, no shirt.
Yeah. Kind of looked like he was coming from a gay pride parade. But that's fine.
Yes.
But nobody, and then Ashley, she came in and she had almost like this bohemian type of dress on. She's like, see, she thinks she got the assignment, but not really.
But I liked what Ashley was wearing and I liked her hair. I thought her hair felt most, maybe that felt a little bit more, but who got the assignment that you think of the women?
I don't know. I don't feel like anybody did. I mean, I guess Liz sort of, she wore like a beaded kind of sheer.
Well, she had an outfit change. The first outfit looked like a short dress that looked like a mirror ball.
Mm.
And so again, that's not Studio 54. That's a disco ball as a dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think the problem is they think that Studio 54 means disco. And it's like, well, it was a discotheque, but it's not, it's more than that.
Right.
I think that's the part people were confused about.
It's not like Saturday Night Fever disco.
Mm-hmm.
And this venue where they had that was,
that's
that
their home.
Liz's house.
That's Liz's house. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a beautiful home. Listen, yeah. Weed.
weed sells.
Alicia, Kelsey, who else needs a job? Weed.
Get yourself a dispensary. Forget those men. You don't need to rely on them.
Well, yeah, or sell weed in front of your man's pizza shops. You know, one of the two, like figure something out. But I liked Alicia's outfit, but it looked like a skating outfit. It looked like she was getting ready to do her performance for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Joellen's dress was pretty, but it's kind of like a disco-y dress that, you know, where else would you wear it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rosie was very confused about what to do. I thought Kelsey's dress was very pretty and probably the most semi, kind of, sort of, I don't know.
It looked kind of boho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little bit closer to maybe what it was.
Yeah. Maybe.
But did these people, not one of these people, just Googled Studio 54 and looked at people's pictures?
I don't think they liked what they saw. I think they were like, I need to make this work for me, my aesthetic.
All right. Now, who tells Rula she's brave? Because I was like, you got to be kidding me here. Brave.
One of her friends.
Yeah. Or? Well, it was somebody at the party. Like she and Brian get there first. And I don't know who was it that said to her, oh, you're brave for being here. It's like, oh, you're so brave.
Because everyone hates her?
Because your husband had an affair and is still having the affair and everybody knows and everyone's talking about it. Is it that? That's why she's brave?
Yeah. That's the big thing is that everyone is saying, because Rula's saying, no, that was in the past. We've worked through that, whatever. And everyone's saying, no, it's not in the past. Everybody knows.
And Brian. Brian also is saying it's not in the past.
Brian is the one who's brave to show up to this thing because he's in a world of trouble. So he's the brave one. And I guess she's brave for showing up with this idiot.
Well, but I just think it's so funny. It's like, yeah, going into battle. It's like brave. You came to a Studio 54 party.
Brave. You never know. You never know what can happen at these parties.
Well, and then I thought someone who said Brian's wearing two costumes. One is a Studio 54 costume and the other one's as a faithful husband. It's like, ooh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And guess what? He only was wearing one costume because Brian didn't dress up.
No, he had his black Goomba shirt on.
Yeah, he didn't even try. He was wearing jeans. No. Basically was like, I'll go, but I'm not gonna dress at all.
Yeah. So. And I loved the confrontation between Rula and Brian and Ellen and her husband, Gary. Because Joellen and Gary, this is what I like about this show, is people are direct.
Yeah.
You know, there's no talking around things or shying away from things. They just straight came out and said, you know, don't fuck with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian and Rula seemed very like scared and intimidated by the whole thing. They looked bad.
Again, because none of these people can take accountability. I think that they know that this was bad. I think they know that this was bad. They know it was real. And instead of just sitting there going, listen, I said something to that guy. It went off the rails. I didn't think he was going to call. I didn't know this. I feel terrible, blah, 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 blah. Because essentially, you both are sort of pointing the finger at the other one. Both, you know, you're both, quote unquote, spreading rumors or talking out of turn. And it's affecting the other person's life. But yeah, I mean, Gary just sits down. And I thought that was, he started off exactly like he asked it as a question. Like, I'm trying to understand about why did you call my wife's office?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, good.
Yeah. Because it's crazy to call this woman's office and
try
to get her fired.
So I guess I didn't quite understand the story, but you explained it to me. So, Brian says that I guess he was angry. He mentioned it to a friend. The friend decided to call.
Mm-hmm.
And with the idea, and Brian tells us, well, I wanted him to say, can you have her stop saying certain things? Like basically calling this woman's place of employment to say, can you get her to stop saying things? You know how insulting that is? Like, so like almost like you're a child, like she's a little girl that needs to be scolded. Like you have to go to her dad and tell on her and say, you've got to discipline her. But it's not even that he was going to the husband or anything. You're going to her work.
Yeah. What, to the personnel department? I mean, who are they calling?
I don't know. And because here's the other thing about this too, is the minute that friend went to the company and said, there's a problem. That's the thing. HR can't go, oh, this is because of that affair Brian had, you know, and dismiss it. HR and whomever's there, they have to follow it through. They don't have a choice. Once it's triggered, they have to follow it. So of course they needed to say something to her boss. Then they were going to have to go to her. Like Brian doesn't quite understand how business works, because the minute you say anything about this, it's going to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It has to. So, but I think it's just so insulting. Like his idea was, I want you to call this company and tell this woman to stop talking about me. Like we're little children.
Yeah.
Like, would you do that to a man? No,
oh,
you
God,
wouldn't.
No.
It was gross.
It really was. This Brian guy, he's...
Yeah, that's what he says. This is somebody. What I want Joellen's job to do. He wanted Joellen's job to be like, hey, stop saying things about Brian.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Well,
maybe he had a contact there that he thought would actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about Dino.
Oh, okay, sure.
Because Dino shows up at the party.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I like Liz. Do you feel like Liz doth protest too much, kind of thing, that it seems like it's obvious?
Yeah, I like Liz too, but I'm sorry. Her husband's gone 3 out of 4 weeks of the month for 2 or 3 years or something. And, you know, this whole party, it seems, is centered around her being able to show everyone that it's okay for her and her husband and Dino to all be in the same place at the same time, because nothing's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just friends. Like, there's nothing weird. There's nothing wrong with this. And at one point she says, I just want to go down to the seawall with my husband to show people.
And Dino. She wants to go down Dino. The seawall.
Yeah, the seawall. Somehow the magical seawall. If they can all stand together at the seawall, everyone will go, oh my God. Well, of course, there's nothing going on here. Everything's fine.
Okay. Are we off of Brian? But okay, we'll keep going with the Dino
stuff. Oh, well, no. What did we
well,
miss?
No, maybe we already said this part, but like the fact that Brian had nothing to say. That was the other part that was so confusing to me, because it's like, Brian, you knew this was going to happen, and yet you still have no response. Do you know what I mean? It's something very odd.
He could have just not wanted to get into it on camera because he knows it's not going to look good for him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he was just playing it cool. And then when he gets out of the sight of the camera, he's going to blow a lid. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. We can stay with Dino, because Liz was super drunk. I mean, really, you could tell how hammered she is.
Yeah.
And it was Kelsey that said something to her, like, because she wants to go down to the seawall. And Kelsey makes a comment about, and I thought her comment was pretty much like it wasn't accusatory. It wasn't rude. It was just like, well, do you think that's the best idea, right? With the rumors and everything, is that what you want to do? And someone who is not having an affair would be like, yeah, of course, this is what I want to do. I want to show everybody this stuff. But instead, Liz gets up and tells her to fuck off and runs to her bedroom. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then Liz, in her confessional, she says that Kelsey's just trying to distance her own story with Dino by pointing the finger at me. So,
I didn't understand. I didn't know if that meant that something happened with Kelsey and Dino, or if she was talking about how Kelsey also has this, you know, different kind of relationship.
Yeah, she's saying her own story with Dino. So I think Kelsey had something going with Dino.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I took it.
Yeah. Okay.
But okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but Dino showed up with some
woman who also didn't know the assignment either, who wore like a short pink dress.
Oh yeah, that's right. And they were all talking about her.
Yeah. But she gets, man, Liz gets pissed and she goes up to her room and we don't see her and she's drunk and they're all trying to talk to her. And I was just like, I think this is where the next episode's going to pick up from. But yeah, I mean, there were a few, like that Brian saying something like, yeah, they're almost like spreading rumors as if I went to one of Diddy's freak off parties.
Oh, that's timely.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things was Joellen did say at one point, she said that I'm just trying to, like, she keeps mentioning the affair and how Brian's still having the affair because she's trying to protect Rula from a horrible husband. Did you catch that?
Who said that?
Joellen.
So she's trying to protect Rula. She hates Rula.
Yeah, that's the other part of it too. It's like, no, I don't think you care about that. It's like,
you're trying to embarrass her.
Yeah, that's the other part of it too, which is that's the part that it was like when Rula said to both of them, the affair is over. Even if you are like, no, I just saw them together last week. Joellen can't let that go. She's just like, no, it's still happening. It's like, okay.
Well, look, I can see Joellen has a right to be pissed at these two.
Yeah, she does.
You know, they're really jerks. And also, I don't think because at the winery, Joellen seemed genuinely shocked that Rula was going to be there. I don't think she knew Rula was going to be on the show.
She didn't. She said something. Oh, the show. Well, she didn't know she was going to be at the winery because that was one of the first scenes in the beginning of the show where she says it would have been nice if someone had told me.
Yeah, I don't think she knew she was cast on the show.
Mm. Maybe.
And now she's pissed. Like, I have to deal with this bitch, like, all, you know, for how many months or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they're all, listen, you guys are all doing it. You're all doing it. You're no better than anybody else. Like, you're all, you know, I just love how all they do is accuse each other of having affairs and sleeping around. It's like, so if you're all fucking around, then shouldn't you all just be okay with it? Like, shouldn't it just be like, okay?
Well, they just don't want, again, this goes back to appearances. It's okay as long as nobody knows. Nobody's talking about you. Your name's not out there in the streets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that now they're being embarrassed on national TV.
Yes. Well, I think the other thing is, I think Rula also knows that she really can't. I don't think she can divorce Brian. I think that's part of the problem. Like we learned, she had been married before. She is very upset this gets out. She says, my family would not be happy about that. I bet you anything that this is the big shame of her family, that they all try to talk about, that they brush under the rug. And I am sure she was like, I cannot go back. I can't divorce him. Yeah. And I think he knows that too. So he's like, I'm just going to have a good time.
So he's he's in a good place, but he doesn't want his business out there either. So why did you guys sign up for this show? I mean, have these people learned nothing? Like it, once you sign up for this show, that's it. Whatever you have going on, it's eventually going to come out.
Yeah. Any secret you have will come out. It really will. Yeah. So yeah, that's a very strange. I don't know why they don't. No one learns from these things. But I think that the draw to fame, and I think that so much of what all of this is about power dynamics, you know? And I think that it's, you know, my guess would be that Rula had some power over Brian to basically say, you had this affair, so you're going to do this thing for me now. He agrees to it. And now he's in it and he's like, crap, you know, I don't want to do this. This is way out there. So he's trying to control it. She can't leave him. You know, I mean, it's just all these power dynamics where everyone is having to make these big compromises on how they want to live their lives. So,
yeah, no, these people, they have a lot of skeletons in their closet.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah. All right. And Dolores was there very briefly. I didn't get to see her outfits. That was the other thing. I am very upset with the camera people. Because I feel like they just kept showing us people's shoes, people's feet walking into the party, their shoes. It's like, can we not see everyone's outfit? Can we get like a good, you know, one shot here that we can look at for a second? I just kept looking at people's shoes. So Dolores was there, but we just see her for 1 minute. So that was it. All right. Well,
good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, these ladies, they're bringing something.
They are. You know, there just is not a shortage of people willing to just put their messy lives out there for our enjoyment.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for being here. If you want more of us, if you enjoy us, please go check out our Patreon. You get all the shows ad-free, and we do weekly bonuses and lots of different other kinds of things over there. So go check it out. You can subscribe to the to our show so that you make sure that you get these downloaded in your feed each week. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can follow us on social media at Psych Legal Pop. Tell a friend. I think that's it. Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and for tuning in. And we'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.